Yeah. It's Mr. Encore.
Wait a minute. Let's stop it. People, you know what time it is.
Let's go. Ain't no room for hesitation up in here. It's time to leave it on the field. Because it's game time. It's time to make your hard work pay off. Make your mom and dad proud. Make your opponent pay the price. It's time to step up and get it done, son. You go hard or you go home. From the first whistle to the last. Bring it all day, every play. Because you know your boys is going to put on the line for you. They got your back, so you better have theirs. This is about the team. It's about pride. It's about who's the hungriest. So what's it going to be, man? You going to leave it on the field, or you going to leave it inside? You going to leave it or something in your tank? Or you going to do what champions do? Leave nothing.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Hello. Of course it is on Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And this is the FSP Crew Show. Along with some whoever is coughing in my background here. Whatever it is. Anyway, I am JT, a.k.a. the Nestor, and I'm joined by my co-host, Jeff the Joker, and we are the FSP crew. And today, we're going to be talking about some football, some Johnny football, some NFL football, some NCAA shenanigans, and some MLB and players shenanigans. So we got it. Plus, it's football. Just like I entered this show, I intro the show. Football is here. A full slate of football games are going to be played tonight. There's going to be six to be exact. One's taking place right now, which is Baltimore and Tampa Bay, and there's others that are going to be playing out throughout the night. But we're going to be talking about that a little later, but we're going to be breaking it down. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to Jeff or me. Anyway, let's get this ball rolling and bring in my one co-host that I have here. And I got a number, and I think I know who it is, but I'm going to bring my first co-host in here, who's Jeff the Joker, my fellow Jersey guy. Talk to me, my man.
Hey, Jerry, thanks for the intro. Everybody, welcome to the show.
Yes, and I before I go any further, I think I know who this person is, and I got to be sure. I mean, he was coughing and wheezing and whatever else, so he must be going through some trial and tribulations. Call from the 202. Is this Mr. Victor Gardner?
No. This is not Mr. Victor.
Oh, my God.
It's been a good little 8 to 20 years to be up on here. I told Vic tonight I was going to call in because I got to do a shameless plug to get some more people in this league. But this is the champ. This is the champ.
Oh, here we go.
You know what I'm saying? This is the champ.
Oh. Slick Rick. Oh,
that's
ladies
who this is.
Gentlemen.
This is the champ.
Ladies and gentlemen. Oh, wait. Let me do this right. This is a guy that plays in several of our fantasy football leagues. He happened to win. I shouldn't say happened. He won one of the leagues last year, and I have to congratulate him. He won the league fair and square. No problem with that. He's been away from the station for quite a while. That's why I didn't recognize the number. That's why I was surprised, because I know Victor's over in that side of the country, and I was surprised to hear from this guy. So I'm gonna back up, take a seat back for a minute, and let my man Rick do what he wants to do, because it's for a noble cause, our fantasy football league. So go right ahead, Mr. Rick, Slick Rick, Mr. the champ. Okay, how about this? Go ahead, champ. Do your thing.
First of all, I do want to thank Mr. Jeff the Joker for accepting my invite. I definitely got to thank him for that. So now we do have 10 teams out of 12 in the league. And for those that do want to get in this ESPN Fantasy Football League, we have this thing going on. We trying to get it up to 12. But if not, we'll dumb it down to 10 teams. But I definitely told Vic, I just got off the phone with Vic probably about 30 to 45 minutes ago. Had to call in, say what's up to the people. It's been a rough 1.5 to 2 years, but of course, being able to raise my son, that's the best thing in the world right there. He'll
Absolutely.
Be 3 on Sunday. So
wow.
That's where I've been at. And, you know, the champ is here. I'm plugging in. I'm trying to put a plug on this fantasy league because I want to get all of these people in here. I told Vic I was going to try to open up a little league to make things a little, you know, the economy is hurting people, so leagues are hurting people at the same time. I'm trying to get a cheaper league on here, but everybody that wants to get in on the league, if you do want to get in on the league, you know, come on through, drop me a name on the email, ohh_wise1@yahoo.com. We're going to get you an invite out there. All the proceeds are definitely due by August the 18th. It is a paid league. Trying to get that in there. It's definitely good to be back on here. And
glad to hear from you, my man. Glad to hear from you, my man. I didn't know where you. Well, I've seen you a few times on Facebook.
Yeah, I come to Facebook every now and then, but because of the fact that I do got a nighttime schedule now, my nighttime schedule varies. But the good thing is I have an every other weekend schedule. So when I do
okay.
have every other weekend, mm-hmm. I'll try to make sure that I'm awake. That's
okay.
the good thing about it. It, mm-hmm. When I don't work on the weekend, I try to catch up on the sleep that I missed from the past week. You know what I'm saying? So,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna definitely look forward to everything this year. But I'm definitely looking forward to things with y'all. Y'all have been doing very good. I see. I'm definitely keeping up with y'all on Facebook and Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Well, it's a pleasure having you here. And sit back, because we have a quite a bit to cover tonight. Starting off with the Heisman Trophy winner. Now I have a clip here. It's Jay Shad who's talking on the clip, and also have an article that I want to go through that about Mr. Johnny Manziel and his alleged. Signing for money episode that the NCAA is investigating. Let me play this clip, and then we'll come back and we'll discuss it along with the article that I have.
Now, the broker showed you the video, Joe. What did you specifically see?
Well, I saw Johnny Manziel in a very comfortable fashion sitting on the bed in what is a hotel expressed to me by the broker in Connecticut in January. The broker claimed that he went to Johnny Manziel's room on 3 occasions with more than 300 items, actually had to order extra items for that second day so he could bring more back to Johnny Manziel. Does claim that he paid Johnny Manziel cash, that at one point he offered additional cash. I actually heard that phrase used on the video that I watched. if he would sign with a special inscription, which Johnny said he would not do because he had done it in the past and it had led to problems. One of the key phrases that you heard from Johnny Manziel is you hear Johnny Manziel say, quote, "You never did a signing with me." Johnny Manziel indicated that he did not want anyone to know that he had done the signing, that it would be a problem for him and for them if it got out that he, in fact, had done the signing.
Now, why did the broker tell you that he took this video?
Well, autograph brokers try to obtain what they call proof photos or proof videos that they can actually bring to authenticating companies so that they can have a certificate of authenticity to go along with the signatures. And the broker who I met with in person told me that the original intention was just to have this as proof that the signatures were actually Manziel's. At a certain point, he told me that he wanted to sell the video for a profit, showed me the video, then at a later point in time said he had changed his mind, did not want to actually sell the video for profit.
Now, the NCAA investigating Johnny Manziel for allegedly signing autographs, this makes the case so much stronger. How much does it change it?
Well, you know, this particular broker told me that he had no intention of cooperating with the NCAA investigation, if in fact the NCAA has or does attempt to contact him. He says, hey, Johnny Manziel is a great guy. Feel bad that he's caught up in this controversy. You know, I was trying to obviously make some money. He told me that he's had success selling these Johnny Manziel autographs. Now, this is yesterday's photograph. This is the second autograph broker. So we now have three separate autograph brokers in three separate states telling stories about three separate signings. This is the one that's alleged to have taken place, where you're seeing here, before the Alabama-Texas A&M game. So in terms of why this is significant, this is the photo provided by Darren Revell as to one of the items that was purchased on eBay. There's obviously a ton of memorabilia. That's what raised flags, drew suspicions in the first place. And so clearly what we have here is a pattern of Johnny Manziel signing autographs in hotel rooms for memorabilia dealers. As you were alluding to there, I'm sure, the NCAA has a burden of proof. They're going to have to find either a money trail via bank deposit accounts or have one of these autograph brokers, who perhaps feels burned that there's so much Manziel stuff out there, come forward and actually speak to the NCAA. They have a challenge.
Now, quickly, Joe, Darren Revell mentioned that on January 6th around the national championship game, there were almost 1,000 photos that were autographed. The likelihood, however, has changed that more people will come out and interview, given, of course, the offseason that Johnny has had. So what is, I ask you, that likelihood that more people will come out and be interviewed and say that, yes, in fact, it was Johnny?
Yeah, I mean, as the story gains steam, I mean, the broker I spoke with in relation to this particular video, as you see, part of Johnny Manziel's off-season, certainly a busy off-season. He told me that he had no intention to do anything with this video, but that once the story had broken, he figured, hey, it's already out there. Everybody knows Johnny Manziel is signing these autographs all over the place, so I might as well try to capitalize on this. He actually told me that in the end, the reason he decided not to sell the video, which, again, I watched. Okay, two videos on a cell phone camera, approximately 9 minutes in length, very casual conversations between Johnny Manziel and a professional autograph broker in the room. So,
okay. Now, also, like I said, the broker said he secured so many autographs from Manziel that not all of them have been listed for sale. He stated some have been sold on eBay, and he had said some have been passed on to dealers. He also said that Manziel, a friend and assistant, or personal assistant, Nate Fitch, wasn't present or involved in alleged transactions. And I can't understand, it's probably for business purposes, that the broker said he doesn't intend to cooperate with the ongoing NCAA investigation involving Manziel and autographs. And quite naturally, the NCAA is looking into Manziel for getting paid for signing hundreds of autographs on photos and sports memorabilia, which is ironic, because once we get past this story, there's another story about the NCAA that's pretty hypocritical. And the thing about it, the NCAA Assistant Director of Enforcement in June contacted a guy that was inquiring about these alleged signings, And if he's said to be in violation of this, okay, quite naturally, just like Jeff and Rick, you know, and I know, he's going to be ruled ineligible. Now, he was a freshman last year. He's going into his sophomore year, and if I'm not mistaken, he's not eligible to get into the pro football unless he gets past his sophomore year. So, Mr. Manziel, and I said it last week, and I'll say it again, I'm surprised that he's doing this, but I'm not surprised because I think he's a spoiled brat, and he thinks he can say anything he wants to, and this may come to bite him in the ass. I'm going to give first dibs on this to to Rick, and then we'll go to Jeff on your opinion of Mr. Johnny Manziel and this mess, this another mess he's gotten himself into.
Yo, this I truthfully don't even know what to say about it. Just like you say, he's already basically ruled himself ineligible in a way. Manziel is just, he's the people, if you watched WWE before, he's the people's champ. But technically, he is not the champ. You see what I'm saying? Because of the simple fact that he does everything the way the people want it done. Everybody wants those that are the ones that come out there and, you know, are friendly with the public or whatever. But Manziel, he's just going about it the wrong way. He knows he's in the public eye because of the simple fact he won that Heisman Trophy. So his whole bubble has become bigger than life, and he doesn't have a way to really handle that. So, by him doing things the way that he's doing it, it's going to hurt him in the long run. I like the fact that he's a popular quarterback. To me, he reminds me of Doug Flutie. Don't get me wrong. Doug Flutie was not your prototypical quarterback. Everybody wants a quarterback that's 6 feet or over, has the height, has the big arm, whatever. Doug Flutie had a big arm because he threw that Hail Mary pass in college, and he did it again in the NFL. Same thing with Manziel. Manziel could do the same thing. But he's just going about a lot of stuff the wrong way. And if I was one of the execs in there, a lot of stuff I would overlook because of the way the scrutiny is in college football. College football has a lot of craziness going on right now. Manziel, think about it. How many college football quarterbacks have went out there and gotten autographs or given out autographs? You're going to get this man because of something that's, to me, that's minor when it comes to the autographs.
I don't know about that, Rick.
Huh?
He's getting money. He's getting paid money. That's against the NCAA rules.
It is against the NCAA rules, but, I mean, if you think about it, let's look at it like this. Every time you give out your signature, you're giving someone an incentive to go and buy your jersey. So are you not getting money, or you're not directly getting money, but in some way, shape, or form, is money not being generated?
Yeah, but you're not getting it. You're not getting it.
No, you directly are not. But at the same time, money is being generated. The way college football is portraying a lot of stuff, they don't want your name to generate any type of monetary funds. You see what I'm saying? It's just a lot of controversy when it comes to it. That's why I don't pay too much attention to college football. But at the same time, I don't know. I mean, with Manziel, hey, I hope he gets to the NFL, but at the same time, he's not a prototypical quarterback, so it doesn't make a difference to me. You know, but okay. I never want to see anyone go down in the light that he's going to end up going down or players in the past have ended up going down. It's just kind of crazy to me.
Jeff, talk to me.
Rick, thank you, Derek. Rick, thanks for calling in. You're a gamer, and I'm looking forward to being in your league. And I have to tell Jerry, I kind of joined the league by accident.
Yeah.
But
you did.
It might be dope. But you know what it is? It's a happy accident. You know?
Yeah.
I won't deny it. I mean, there's a lot of children running around, great children who are loved by their parents that were happy little accidents, you know?
Hey,
so,
I was ready. Right. I was ready to go ahead and write you a check and just mail it straight to your address.
And you know what? I feel special because I'm the 10th man. And it's probably the most important man for a fantasy league, you know? Because to me, it's like fantasy football, I like 10 starters, 10 backups, 10 teams. It's like the metric system. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
I mean, okay, you got all your variations. I used to do an 18 league. That was trippy. That was every team was an all-star team. And I've been in 14 team leagues. And that's nuts. You're fighting for scraps, you know. But 10, that feels right, you know. So,
yeah.
I mean, 12 is good too, but 10, we got enough for the party. We're A-okay. So
that's
looking
right.
forward. And, you know, I wanted to share different ways of getting people for the leagues. I've tried Facebook. One time that didn't work out okay because the guy didn't pay. And it was last minute, and it got all messed up. And,
right.
You know, I mean, if a league is too rich for you, you say, hey, it's too much. Hey, no, people understand, no problem, but don't join and then expect that you don't have to pay up because that doesn't make any sense, you know.
Right.
But I've heard of people finding owners. I hate the term owner. It sounds so ridiculous. But finding, you know, new teams on Craigslist, I've heard. There's forums on the CBS and ESPN fantasy sites. They've got forums, and people post on the board, I need a team, I need two teams, whatever, and sometimes it happens, you know? So, and, you know, it doesn't hurt to ask around. So, and the good thing is, if you're dealing with, let's say, somebody who you don't know at all, they've got these online sites to collect the funds, so that makes it easier. And it's easier than having to write a check and, you know, mail a letter or whatever. But getting back to this Johnny Football thing, now, this is a totally different situation, but an autograph from a college football star is something of value. I mean, this is a totally different situation, totally different. Well, Mike Tyson was in prison. He got in trouble for signing an autograph for another convict because they said, oh, his autograph is something of value and he can't give people things of value. I mean, this is a totally different situation. But the thing is with the Manziel situation, I get the impression A&M has been working very hard with him to keep him eligible while he's enjoying traveling around this off season, and I'm sure they've told him what he can and can't do. You know, and the thing is, the irony is, unlike most college football athletes, this guy is from a fairly affluent family, from what I understand.
Yes,
so you can't give him the excuse, hey, the kid had no money in his pocket, you know, hey, his family, they don't have money, and, you know, he's a little something to walk around with. You can't use that excuse. I mean, the impression I get from the way he's acting is he sounds like a spoiled brat. You know?
Yeah, thank you.
I mean,
yep.
The first couple of things are like, ah, he's a young guy, it's no big deal, it's getting blown up. But then it doesn't stop. Like, every week it's something else with this guy. And I think, I mean, Jerry and I, we're from the New York area. Rick, you're from the D.C. area, right?
Right, right.
Now, but I think a lot of people, you know, in the Northeast don't realize how big college sports is in the Midwest, and especially in the South, is the big thing. I mean, because
sure.
Let's say, I mean, in Texas they got pro teams, but, you know, there's some places in Texas the big college teams are a lot closer. Austin's a big city. It's not near, Houston or Dallas, they got the University of Texas. They're huge. College Station, they got A&M, which A&M must be going crazy now because they were always almost always number two to Texas. You know, this offseason for Manziel has been like something from a movie or something. But, you know, college, you know, big-time college football and basketball is a minor league. It's, you know, I don't know, it's almost like the pros. You know, so I don't know what the answer is, but there is a lot of hypocrisy. Now, the thing is, if Manziel, in the unlikely event, he signed 300 autographs for free, like if he thought it was for a charity or something, then it's okay. But I don't know. I mean, 300's a lot. And the thing is, this autograph broker doesn't have to cooperate with the NCAA because they're not the cops. They're not the government. He broke rules, not laws. And that's right. A world of difference, you know? Believe me, unless I had good reason, if somebody from the NCAA showed up at my door and started grilling me, I'd slam the door in his face, you know?
Yeah, plus the fact that, Jeff, not to interrupt you, plus the fact that this broker is his livelihood is getting athletes to sign for him. If he starts blowing a whistle on these guys, nobody's going to want to do any signings for him. So his livelihood is at stake also. So and the NCAA is very hypocritical in that. And I'll let you finish your thought before I move on.
Yeah, it's pretty much all I got to say. I mean, I'm kind of getting tired of this. And, you know, I think Manziel's still out of practice because they're afraid they'll have to forfeit if he gets ruled ineligible. And
right.
The thing is, like, you know, I hope Black calls him because Black follows, I think, college football, you know, closer than any of us. I mean, yeah, he's a great player, but he's not a great NFL prospect.
Right.
And this kid, he really needs to have another good year in college to prove he's got decent size, to prove he's got the arm, that he can play in the pro-style offense. I mean, yeah, I think Flutie is a good comparison. He's a little taller than Flutie, but that's not saying much. But Flutie had a much better head on his shoulders, you know. I mean, I don't remember a lot of controversies around Flutie. One thing is, he lied about his height. I think he claimed to be 5'9". He might have been 5'7". Who cares? He won games in the NFL, you know. He got it done, you know, and without big numbers. But I think he had the important numbers. He had very few turnovers, which leads to a very high percentage of wins, and he won a lot of games.
Right. Speaking of Black is in the chat room. And Joker, he wanted me to ask you if Kyle is coming back to our fantasy league, for one.
Oh, you know what? I'll tell him. I'll go into the chat. I'll get in touch with Kyle.
Okay. He's also got a great website. I'm not exactly sure what this website is about. It's Saturdays.
Oh, it's not one of those, is it?
Saturdays Down South. So it must be a website about football down south. That's what it sounds like. Saturdays down
also
south.
Too, since Black is in the chat room, ask him why he's so scared to join up on the big boy leagues here. He's really killing our I don't even know how to say it. He's killing us when it comes to getting the membership on the big boy leagues. He's just he's not doing what he's supposed to do. Tell him he's had his 1 year of rookie eligibility. That's it.
Okay. And he also put in the chat room that Clowney, J. Devion Clowney, also supposedly signed some stuff as well. Black says, I'm a working class four, what you're charging for that league is too much for his blood. That's what he's telling me.
Oh my goodness!
Hey, all I can tell you is what I'm telling you in the chat room. And
I might as well say the $10 is too rich for my blood.
Okay, I have one more caller in here. Excuse me, I know who this person is. And hopefully he'll give me some information or some perspective, his perspective on Johnny Manziel and his latest escapade. Mikal, welcome, my man. How you doing, and what do you got to say about Mr. Johnny Football?
Johnny Football, how y'all fellas doing? What's up, Rick? What's up, Jeff?
All right.
Hey, Mikal.
I don't know. We talked about this last week or week before last. We said a couple of things. I'm still under the impression that he is a young kid, and you know, this stuff keep happening every week. You know, he is spoiled brat. I mean, what else? What you gonna do? What you gonna do, man? What you gonna do? He's too young for all this spotlight, man, and it's gonna burn him up. It's gonna burn him up. You know, hopefully somebody can get his head or get his ear or whatever. But from what I understand, his father ain't gonna be that type of dude. So I don't know.
What the hell just happened?
Oh my goodness! Tennessee just scored on my Redskins. Sorry.
Oh my. Oh man. Oh, okay. Let's move on. I want to move on and talk about. Now we were talking about before about these athletes signing different things, their jerseys or some other type of NCAA memorabilia to be sold through brokers and getting paid for it. Well, Jay Billis had exposed that the NCAA was selling individual jerseys and other team-related memorabilia on its website, and he called the practice, in so many words, hypocritical and whatever else he wanted to call it. And for that, the governing body, the president of the governing body of college sports, Mark Emmert, who happened to be the president of the NCAA, shut down the website. The NCAA decision on the heels of ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis exposing a controversial enterprise on Twitter early this week. Billis criticized the NCAA for selling jerseys of popular college basketball and football players on the shop.ncaasports.com website. Billis typed the names of Texas A&M quarterback Johnny Manziel, Clemson quarterback Taj Boyd, South Carolina defensive end J.J. Beon Clowney, and other high-profile players into the NCAA site search function and received back matching jerseys. After Billis exposed these guys, they got caught with their hands in a cookie jar, for lack of a better word, and decided to shut down this site because this is, quote, in the national office we can certainly recognize why that could be seen as hypocritical, and indeed I think the business of having the NCAA selling those kinds of goods is a mistake, and we're going to exit that business immediately. That's what the president of the NCAA said. It's not something that's core to what the NCAA is about, and it probably never should have been in the business. Now, come on. You got to be kidding me. Now, if Jay Billis hadn't more or less blown the whistle and exposed the NCAA in their hypocritical ways of profiting off the popularity of their college football stars, then this site would have kept on going, and they would have been reaping the profits of them. Now, because Jay Billis exposed them, and on the heels of the NCAA distancing themselves from the EA Sports, now the NCAA is trying to backtrack and clean up the rack. I'm going to go to Jeff first, because this is one of the biggest hypocritical moves of a huge organization, especially of college football, and get your thoughts on it. Talk to me, Jeff.
You know, before Rick said nobody can make money off it. No. The correct. The NCAA is the only one that can make money off it. They're the pimp. You know, they control the action. They can make money off a player. You know, in particular the jerseys or the video games, in any way you slice it. And, you know, the players, they get something of value. You know, the education, which the coaches might discourage them from. They get the room and board. But they can't make a nickel. And they have these, you know, bogus explanations. Like, let's say, for example, when Tim Tebow was playing at University of Florida, because he had such a brilliant four-year career, sold a lot of jerseys, and the jerseys were his number, 15, but there was his last name wasn't on the back. So they say, oh, well, it's a team jersey. Yeah, it's a team jersey being bought because people like the player. But this is the kind of rationale that the NCAA uses, and they've created a very lucrative business model. Think about it. They make so much money from TV and all this other stuff, and, you know, they're giving, you know, the athletes get an education, which even if the education you say is worth, you know, maybe a couple hundred grand, let's say, but it doesn't cost the school that much to give it away, so you got to discount that. You know, it is a very hypocritical system. And, you know, Jay Billis, I mean, he's a very bright guy. He's an attorney. He's not just another ex-jock. He knows his stuff.
That's true. Hey, Mikal, we just lost Rick, but give me your comments on how hypocritical. I know you got some opinion on this.
Man. Honestly, I don't even have the energy. Oh, we've been saying the same stuff about the NCAA for the past what, 2 or 3 years on this show. I think I came on here and let a few of y'all know that the NCAA is a non-profit organization. Yo, man, these guys. I mean, Jeff hit it right on the head. I mean, he stole all my thunder for real. He stole it all. You know, they are operating exactly like pimps, and they always have. And they're going to protect their investment. You know, at every turn and every time you watch them when they so-called crack down on something, they're not cracking down. They're trying to reinforce the whole thinking and the whole program. The whole mind program that they have everybody up under that, it's okay for them to say, all right, you can come play for us. You know what I'm saying? We're going to pimp you out at the same time, and we're not going to pay you, but you got to abide by our rules. If you're going to stay in this, you're going to abide by our rules. No, get out of here. Get out of here. And it's crazy, and it's real crazy to me to have been on Matt's show. Matt got on here and was talking about how they should do it and breaking it all down. But this guy's a conservative. He's not supposed to be into socialism, you know. And all he's talking about was something socialistic, you know, some socialism. That's all socialism. Come on, man. I thought you down for free enterprise. You know what happened to that? But yeah, man, the NCAA is very hypocritical. The whole game is messed up, man.
Yeah, I'm just reading about it. And I'm not really gonna get into it. Maybe Jeff can enlighten me a little bit more because I'm not really up to snuff on this thing about EA Sports that the NCAA is discontinuing its relationship with EA Sports. Jeff, yes, the NCAA is discontinuing its relationship with EA Sports. Because there's a lawsuit out there. I guess some athletes want a cut because they're playing their likeness in these games, and they want a cut of that. Jeff, maybe you can enlighten us a little more.
Okay. I haven't been following this closely, but I think it was a former basketball player, Ed O'Bannon, who started it because the video games are real popular. I think they look great, but I don't play them because I'm afraid I'm going to get hooked. I'm not kidding. That Madden football looks ridiculous. I saw it on TV, a competition. I was like, if I start messing with that, forget it. I'll never be able to get anything done. So I think it was Ed O'Bannon, a former star at UCLA and played in the NBA. He was the one, I think, the first one who said, hey, you're using my image, my likeness for this video game. Because I guess they've got the retro games, you know, you could use old teams and whatever. And he wants to be compensated, which I can't blame him. You know, I mean, you use someone's image and likeness, they deserve some compensation. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of other people got involved with it. I think college football players got involved with it. I haven't been following it too close. But maybe the NCAA is getting out of it just because they think they might be losing the lawsuit, you know? I mean, who knows?
Oh, yeah, they're going to lose that lawsuit.
So that might be why they're backing out of something that they were making money doing. But that's, I think, the origins of the NCAA with video games.
Yeah. Okay. And so, you know, this is just another way of the NCAA being hypocritical and backing up and trying to cover itself because somebody wants the money from what the NCAA has been profiting for. Now they're going to say, it's wrong. We're not going to deal with this. It's amazing. It's amazing to me how these big organizations, big companies or whatever can get away with things for years, and then when they get exposed, they backtrack, and it's okay if they backtrack, and then they say, oh, we're going to get out of it, and supposedly that's supposed to make everything okay, and no one's going to get upset because they're the NCAA or they're Major League Baseball or they're the NBA, and they do something that wasn't kosher or was benefiting from someone else, and then they want to back out and not take any kind of responsibility for it. So, with that being said, I want to move on to another entity that that is Major League Baseball. We've been talking about this
last
week.
How did I
last
know
week.
You were going there?
we've been talking about this last week, and I think we talked about it a couple weeks before. And I'm talking about, if you guys don't know who this guy is, I'm going to Porter Fisher. Porter Fisher. Does anyone know who Porter Fisher is?
Nah.
Well, Porter Fisher is the Biogenesis whistleblower, okay? who turned the Biogenesis clink ties to professional baseball players into a national scandal.
And he's a black man.
No, he's not. I'm looking right at his picture. Far from it.
Nah.
Far from it. Well, this morning.
I didn't know his name, but they were talking about it. I saw his picture. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, this morning, he stood before a judge saying he feels bullied by Major League Baseball as his attorneys pressed an emergency court order claiming he had failed to respond to requests that he hand over all of the Biogenesis documents he has. Now, he's a former employee of this clinic, okay? He was given a brief reprieve by Miami-Dade County Circuit Judge, which is set for August 21st, which he's going to respond to the request for the commissioner's office. He didn't have an attorney at the time, and from what I understand, the Major League Baseball has been pressing the issue and pressing him and trying to bully him in giving them all the information that he has. They want every bit of information that he has, and he refuses to give it up. and he's on his second attorney, and I guess things basically are going to be coming to a head on August 21st with his second attorney on whether he's going to be able to give up all of this information that he has. He said there's a possibility the document contains names not previously raised by Major League Baseball, as well as a smattering of athletes from other sports who dealt with this Anthony Bosch and his South Florida clinic. If you go on YouTube and type up Porter Fisher, spell F-I-S-C-H-E-R, or Biogenesis Whistle. It's a 7-minute clip with T.J. Quinn. Now, if you guys don't know who T.J. Quinn is, he's the guy who's been a lead guy on ESPN, and all these ESPN shows have been telling you about what's going on with this Biogenesis. And I'm putting two and two together. I'm putting two and two together that he's been seeing these documents from this Porter Fisher that he has, and which is probably something very detrimental to all the players, including A-Rod. They have quite a bit more that hasn't been seen by Major League Baseball, who wants to get their hands on it. And they're bullying the whistleblower, he's not going to stand for it. He's going to go to Macau first, and then Rick, and then Jeff on this ongoing saga of Biogenesis. Talk to me, Macau.
Man, I haven't seen it. This is all new news to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a overwhelmed right about now with the A-Rod Biogenesis thing, man.
The whole
thing is a mess, man. Like a whole swamp full of savages. Just a whole swamp full of savages, man, and it's just ridiculous. It's just getting worse and worse and worse, and they keep making like either the whistleblowers or the people that's telling the truth or the people that are just trying to be honest about something or honest with the way that, you know, everything has been going, keeping status quo. It seems like they're taking them out to be the bad guy. It's like
yep. It's
always taking somebody and making them a fall guy. You know,
right.
And so it's like I'm 50-50 on A-Rod, you know.
This guy, I
feel really bad for this guy. It is a mess. You got the MLB coming after him. Of course, the Yankees want to know what's up. And he already is in bed with A-Rod and the rest of these players. So it's like they got money, MLB got money, you know. And now we got the courts involved, man. This is a mess.
Yeah,
I'm gonna check that YouTube out, man. I'm gonna check that YouTube out.
Yes, and the thing about it, before I go any further, the part of the clip, he says he's lost his friends. He doesn't have the same friends. They shun him. His whole life has changed because the fact is what happened, and he blew the whistle. And the reason, basically, he blew the whistle because Anthony Bosch, when he was in business with Anthony Bosch, he didn't quite know what he was doing in the beginning, but found out, I guess, very quickly what was going on, because supposedly the professional ball players, whether they were whatever sport they were professionally playing in, were basically supplying the bigger checks and the bigger money to the to this clinic, and he started to realize what was going on, and he stopped getting paid from Anthony Bosch. Like he was getting a percentage of I guess whatever was coming in. He had put in about $4,000 as upfront money, and the guy was given, Anthony Bosch was given a percentage of, I guess, the profits or a percentage of whatever. And he stopped getting that, and in the interim, he was getting more information and gathering more information on what the hell was going on, and he got so pissed off at him, about Anthony Bosch. He blew the whistle. Now, and just like you said, Macau, one of his quotes is Major League Baseball is making him out to be the bad guy. And so, talk to me, Rick. Biogenesis, talk to me.
It's not too much I can say. You know, my favorite player, one of my two favorite players was Barry Bonds, so it's not too much I can say on this note. So all I'm going to say is it is what it is in baseball, and it'll play out somehow. I hate to say it like that, you know what I'm saying? But
sure.
Red, my favorite natural player, my absolute favorite natural player in baseball was Reggie Jackson. No one can ever top what Mr. October did. I don't care who it is you come and tell me or you put on the table. Mr. October was Mr. October. He was named for a month and the year, period. But when it comes down to it, Barry Bonds was labeled as a guy that ducked the system. That's one of my guys. And I really, hey, A-Rod needs to go down. I don't want to say that, but at the same time, A-Rod is trying to do what, what's the guy's name, Mark McGwire or any of them. He's trying to do what a lot of cats did, and they never succeeded. A-Rod's going to find his way down. And I was talking to somebody at work the other day, and I was like, how can you play or do your job and not even get paid for it? He's not even getting paid for playing. He's just, if you think about it, he's sitting there trying to redeem his name in a sport that he's done for his whole life and not get paid for it. That's not right.
He's
getting paid. He's not getting paid for that.
He's playing. He's getting paid. He's appealing his suspension. So in essence,
but
wait a minute.
From what I heard, I don't know. Maybe I've missed a couple of reports. But from what I heard, he wasn't getting paid for the games that he's played. And I've only seen, I haven't seen any. I know he was, I know he started one or two of them, and he wasn't getting paid for any of them.
Well, he's
because
played
of the simple
games.
Fact that the appeal process.
No, he's played three games, okay?
And he got paid for all three.
Yeah, he's getting paid. Absolutely he's getting
paid. That's crazy.
Because it's an appeals process. So he's on the field, he's getting paid. Now, I don't know how murky it is after the season, because supposedly his appeal is not going to be heard until sometime in November, December, or maybe January, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on what the arbitrator comes up with, they're going to uphold the 211 games ban, which I highly doubt, or if they're going to cut it in half. We'll have to wait and see. But his appeal is still in the process, so he's getting paid. Now, next season, all bets are off. When the arbitrator comes with a certain number of games and it falls into 2014 season, any of those games, he's definitely not going to get paid. But this year, he's on the field, he's getting paid. Jeff.
You know, I live in the New York area. We've been waiting a while for the hammer to fall on A-Rod. I think everybody knew it was coming. You know, these investigations are so messy and ugly. Because you know what the thing is? There was an old saying I remember hearing a couple times as a kid. It's something like, don't expect an honest partner for a dishonest deal or something. You know, and that's practical. You know, I mean, steroids
like
are legal,
that.
But they were obtained illegally. You're not going to come across a lot of nice folks. And, you know, for too long, baseball turned a blind eye because the stadiums were filled up, because juiced up guys were hitting a lot of homers. But then finally, after it got out of control, then they turned around. Now the union is cooperating, because the union, I think, was practically in cahoots for years. I'm kind of tired of it, but I'll tell you, it got real ugly. I remember with Clemens, that got really ugly. I mean, that guy,
yes.
You know, the one who testified against him, who I thought was, like, the biggest sleaze in the world, but he had been friends with Clemens. The guy was a crooked former cop who'd been busted for perjury. And to me, you know, yeah, okay, Clemens probably did use, but you need more than the word of another sleaze to convict a sleaze, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
That guy, one of the congressmen, really ripped into that guy. He's like, were you lying then? Yes, were you lying then? Yes, were you lying then? Are you lying now? No. It's like, oh, we're supposed to believe this clown? You know? And then the government messed up the case on Clemens. It had pissed away all our money on that. Whatever. And this, I just hope this doesn't go to Congress or something. I mean, A-Rod is crazy, you know, with his conspiracy theories, which, yeah, of course the Yankees don't want to pay him. But he brought that crap on himself, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yep.
he should just tuck his tail between his legs and retire with his $1 zillion and whatever. But he's very insecure. You see, right now Barry Bonds is happily wealthy, retired, and that man does not care how much the public hates him. Everyone in America can hate him. He doesn't care. A-Rod cares. He's very insecure.
Yeah.
He's gonna, you know, he's going to be a very unhappy man to go out like this.
Yeah.
Very, very unhappy man.
Yeah. A-Rod was in the public eye for a good minute.
Yeah.
He was in the public eye.
We have 3 minutes left in the show, okay? And 4 games going on as we speak. Ravens against the Buccaneers, with the Buccaneers winning 13-10. Bengals against the Falcons, which is tied up 3-3. Both of those scores are in the second quarter. Rams against the Browns. The Browns are handing the Rams a little bit of what they are about right now. This 17-7 in the second quarter. And last but not least, the Titans against the Redskins. And the Redskins are losing here right now 14-7. Unfortunately, I wanted to be able to watch some of these players that I'm targeting or looking at. But I still have plenty of time to take a look at them. And guess who I got coming in at the last possible minute with 2 minutes left in the show.
Please let it be the one and only.
Too
I'm not
sweet.
Even going to say his name.
Too sweet.
Too sweet.
You know, I didn't disrespect. I didn't do nothing.
That's what I'm talking about. That's who it is.
We have a minute and a half. Now, on the line, we have this. We have Jeff the Joker, who's my co-host, along with a long-missing co-host, Slick Rick.
I know.
Slick Rick, just take a step back here, Mr. FSP, or I'm going to have to mute you, because I'm not finished yet. And I also have Mr. McCow, who's a regular contributor to this show. And now, last but not least, who joins with a minute and a half left on the regular time of the show, Mr. FSP, the guy who started it all, that should know better than calling a minute and a half left in the show, Mr. Vic Gardner. Hello, Victor.
Little Dougie Fresh Part 2.
Yeah. Oh, really? Really? Y'all going to go back? Okay. Insults abound. I'm watching the Redskins and Tennessee Titans game, and then it dawned on me that the show was about to go off the air, so I decided to call in. I know that Ricky was trying to recruit for his league, and he was going to call blackout, and asked him why he jumped out of the league and all that.
That was the main reason.
So, I'm here to just, you know, contribute to a show that has the Hebrew Hammer, that has the master plan, who's my ATM. I see my cousin, you know, Jabberjaw.
Hey, Macau, Rick, or Jeff, should I mute this guy now or wait till
wait?
Why do I get muted?
Don't mute him. Let him go ahead. Just go ahead and wait.
We're even going to air.
Jerry's bigger than him, so don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Wait till the end of the season when, of course, his record is like 3-whatever, and then you can beat him then.
Really? Okay. Well, all I gotta say is I won the Parlay Palace.
Don't disrespect a champion.
I came in the champion. Dude, you were in the Yahoo.
That's okay.
That's all right.
In your league.
That's fine. And I'll return the favor this year in your league. But I'm not worried about it. Because, Mr. Taylor, you know that I know that you know that I am the real good. And therefore...
That sounds like an old Eddie Murphy stick.
You know, you're a legend in your own mind, Victor. That's okay.
Yeah,
though.
That's all it is.
You're right.
That's
legend
okay.
Legend in his own mind. Yep.
There's two things I wanted to say before you guys went off. Is I wanted to talk about Saturday, because I know you have time today. We want to talk about Greg Jennings saying that the Green Bay Packers brainwashed him and others to stay there. And going off on Aaron Rodgers.
Come on, that's a lost subject.
What are you talking about?
That happens at every job.
It's a lost subject. I mean.
Well, whatever.
What happened?
So, I mean, that's what I wanted to talk about.
Drop the pad.
It's a lost subject. Greg Jennings will say that because they didn't want to keep him. That's all it is.
Well, I mean,
that's the way I look at it.
Along with Jerry, I don't know if you got through with all the AFC teams or not. I wanted to pick back up.
No, I haven't. But I'll be doing them, continuing them this Saturday. So.
I'll be there this Saturday. I'll be there.
Oh, you will. Okay. No problem. Well, then you can. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying I should be at almost every show because I don't have to work on Saturdays yet.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens.
No problem. All right. Well, if that's the case, let me see now. We have Rick. We have Mr. FSP here. We have Mr. McCown and Jeff. I'm going to go this way because I want to end this show because I want to be able to watch these games and some other obligations I got to take care of. So I'm going to go to Macau to promo his show, and then I'm going to go to Rick to give out his email address again, and I'm going to Victor to promo whatever he wants to. And then I'm gonna give it to Jeff.
And then I'll
close it out completely. Yes.
Oh, excuse me. This is very important. Real quick, guys. Before the show, a close friend, my friend Steve, who used to call in once in a while and he listens sometimes, he's got a number one pick in the draft. He wants to take Adrian Peterson. I said it sounds good. Sometimes don't get too cute, but he wanted me to bring it up on the show. So as we go around, if each guy would say who your number one pick is, I'd appreciate it so I could get back to my friend with that.
Okay.
Ooh.
Okay, so here we go. We're starting off with Macau. Macau's the one who's up first.
Hey.
He's number one. Go ahead.
I would take Alfred Morris.
Oh, no, you're tripping.
Redskins are going to run the ball.
That's one thing they're able to do well,
and he is the top back. You know, he was number two last year. So I would
get off the bus.
Get off the bus.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm a Redskins fan. You know, I'm a Redskins fan.
No, I'm not. I mean, I'm not on the bus. I mean, it took me like about 8 weeks before I came around to Alfred Moore.
Because I had no
belief in Shanahan's ability to stick with any running back. You know what I'm saying? Because he would flip them out, switch them out. But now, hold on, he's it. He is it. But anyway, you can check me out each and every Tuesday night. Grown Soul and Real Talk. We get it in every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we will always be too sweet free. Too sweet free. All the time.
You can also
check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/GrownSoul. Or, you know, check out the archives at blogtalkradio.com/DSRT. Or you can catch us on iTunes. Just type in Grown Soul and Real Talk, and it'll come right up. It's all free, baby.
Okay. Before I go to Rick, I want to ask this question. Jeff, is this a PPR league or standard league?
I think standard.
Okay. Go ahead, Rick. Give us your number one pick and what else? Your email address.
Hey, I'm gonna let you know. I don't care if it's a PPR. I don't care if it's a standard league. It doesn't matter. AP all day. Just dude here. He's the truth. Point blank. I told a friend of mine earlier today, I will never disrespect that man again by passing him up in a draft. Point blank. If you have the chance to pick AP, I don't care what position you at. If AP is in your sight and you have him on your draft board, pick him up. Point blank. AP all day. If you trying to get in this league, we got... it is a pay league, a $50 entry fee, OHH_WISE1. That's at yahoo.com. Hit me with an email. I'm trying to get these folks in here. We got 10 teams on deck. I'm trying to make it 12. You want to get in? Let's go. Let's get it in. Payments are due on the 18th of August, and I will make sure that everything is straight. If we don't have that, we will go with 10 teams. That's how we're going. But don't pass up on AP. This dude, AP is the truth. I'm not going to lie. I'll pass up on any quarterback except for Dan Marino because people know how I feel when it comes to Dan Marino. But I will pass up on any other quarterback in the draft. For AP, that dude is the truth.
Okay. Victor.
Okay, the filibuster's over. I
hater. He's a hater.
Well,
he is a hater. Gary Clarker.
I like Ricky to believe that Adrian Peterson should be number one. However, this dilemma was brought up to me earlier in the week. And if he has the number one pick in the draft, and everyone knows there's a scarcity of running backs out there this year, you get AP, and in the second and third round, you get Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees or Peyton Manning, or you get another running back because you got back-to-back picks, okay? So you get AP number one, then you come back and get the next best available running back left on the board, which is second pick. And at the start of the third round, you get Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, or Peyton Manning. So, therefore, I mean, that's the strategy I use in one of my other leagues, and it's quite awesome. I mean, it's a very, very good team. So, that's my strategy on it. And if I had the first pick, knowing what I know. So, thing I want to promote
would you draft? Would you draft Leon Isaac Kennedy?
Never. You know, don't even know who that is. He wouldn't. Never.
He knows who Isaac Kennedy is.
I don't know who that is.
You
don't know who that is.
I'm just going through.
Look,
what,
he don't know.
I'm not trying to
explain
around.
He knows who it is, because that's who we call him.
Listen, if we were joking around, sure, but the guy asked me a serious question, so I'm trying to get a serious answer.
It is a serious question. It's serious, anyway. Vic. Would you draft him? Yes or no? No.
Moving along. No.
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 That's right.
Is the thing I want to advertise are all the shows and what's coming up for this great group of folks I got going on. Ladies and gentlemen, be on the lookout. A real radio station from us, it's on its way. We will have various channels for every show. It'll happen before the end of this month. So you'll get your whole master plan all day, every day, 24/7, 365. You'll have your time out with Sylvia Crawley, same thing. You'll have this program, FSP Crucial, all day, 365, to your leisure. Then, for all my conservative Russ Limbaugh folks, you'll have No Chaser. If we can communicate with Mac, that'll take place as well. Then you'll have me, Mr. FSP, and Jerry every Saturday going on 24/7. And to top it off, you got the master plan, the ATM machine. Mr. Cha-Ching will be there 24/7 with all of his great information. That's coming. And the next evolution in this thing that we call, and I want to thank Jeff for it. Spot On Radio, that's what we're going to call it, Spot On Radio. We're going to TV, internet TV. That's coming down the road, but we'll see what happens. So stick and stay with us. We appreciate you. And that's coming down the road. So we're going to have more from this point later.
All right, Jeff.
You know.
Wait a minute, because I want to give you my input in here, because I corresponded with Victor with this same dilemma. It's a heck of a coincidence, because I just found out, I think it was yesterday, we corresponded back and forth, Victor, about having a number one pick in this league that the buy-in is a couple of Benjamins. The dilemma I had was this, and once I get this feeling, it's hard for me to get it out of my mind and my gut. Usually it bodes well, sometimes it doesn't, but in this case, Adrian Peterson, and any running back that had over 350 carries, doesn't bode well, doesn't do well the following year. I know it's AP, and I know it's all day, and he was a monster. But the problem I have is he's had so many touches last year, and history has proven year in and year out that a back that has that as many carries as over 350 regresses, and regresses quite a bit. So my dilemma is this: do I pick AP? If I don't pick AP, do I pick Arian Foster? Now, the problem with Arian Foster is that he's his health issues. Is he going to be healthy? He's dealing with leg issues, and now he's got issues with the back. He had issues last year. What's going to happen? Is he on the way to breaking down? Now, if I don't want to go to those two guys, who do I go to? That's one reason why I asked you if it was a PPR standard, because that makes a big difference, in my opinion. Now, I'm really – Victor, his strategy, and he related to me just what he told you what he would do. And I'm still in a dilemma because, I like AP, but history is on his side. I'm not saying he's not going to have a good year, but – he's not going to have what people think an AP type of year is. I don't think he's going to get 2,000 yards for one. Arian Foster, I'm real afraid of Arian Foster because the fact is he's had issues with his legs since this past May, and he's not practicing right now. Now he's got back issues. So I'm really got red flags about that. So if I don't want to take those two guys, who do I take? Doug Martin? Jamal Charles, Ray Rice, Marshawn Lynch. It's a heck of a dilemma. You know, maybe the safe pick would be AP, but I'm real afraid of a back that's carried the ball over 350 times in 1 year because of what history dictates to me. But if he wants a safe pick, I would go AP. If he wants to take a little risk, and this is just my opinion, and I may be biased, but this is just my opinion, if he wants to take a little risk on his first pick, I would go with Jamaal Charles because he's going to get a lot of touches. He's going to get a lot of touches, and he hasn't been overworked. Andy Reid's going to put him in space quite a bit more, and he's not going to get the hammering of AP running the ball as much. That's just my opinion.
Well, okay. That's all good info. Personally, and Jerry, you're right on the money about guys having a big year, having a decline afterwards. But I look at this way with AP. Even if his production's reduced 25%, there's still 1,500 yards rushing, let's say. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, Jamaal Charles does look very good. That whole offense in Kansas City looks good. Alfred Morris, I love that guy. He practically saved my team in my Dynasty League because I was all over him last year. But there's something, my only issue with Alfred Morris is that Mike Shanahan's going to walk down the hallway and see some guy and say, hey, son, I don't know you, but you look like you could play some ball. Why don't you start a running back for me next Sunday, you know, because that's Mike Shanahan, you know. And there's almost no such thing as a sure thing. Now, a couple weeks ago, I would have thought in a league that has 6 points for touchdown passes, some only have four, but 6 points for touchdown passes, Aaron Rodgers looks good, maybe, but now his offensive line doesn't look as good, his receivers don't look as good, so, you know, I think sometimes, you know, some people always want to look clever, but I told my friend, I said, don't get too cute sometimes. Go with, you know, it's okay not to be original. Go with AP. So it's been a pleasure, everyone, and thank you very much.
Okay.
All right, Hammer.
With all that being said, I appreciate you guys all joining me today, and me and Jeff and the FSP crew show.
Who is snoring? Somebody snoring.
I don't know. They were snoring. They were belching earlier. I don't know who that is.
That was Rick. You know why?
It had to be. Hey, look, it had to be Rick because me and Jeff, you know what I'm saying, we got this thing down. You know what I mean? We got this thing down. We know what's going to be in Jeff's background because Jeff told us, you know what I mean? And you can hear me going out in the backyard every now and again, but belching and all that stuff? Nah.
Yeah, I think it's Rick. I think he fell asleep because as you can see, I just muted him and all that storm went away. And when I bring him back, there he is. So with that being said, I want to thank Jeff. I want to thank Macau. I want to thank Mr. FSP, Vic Gardner. And sleepy Rick for joining
Mr.
me.
Snore.
Mr. Snore.
You have a nickname for that, dude.
Let's hear him one more time. I'm not going to let him live that down. Anyway, tune in next week, same time. Oh, my God, I got to mute him. I can't deal with that. Tune in next week, same time, same place, same bat channel with the FSP crew, and have a good week and weekend. What's left of the week, and have a good weekend. Enjoy the football, first week of preseason football, full week of preseason football, and we'll talk to you next Thursday. See ya.
Yeah. It's Mr. Anchor. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's fantasy sports and politics.